how to start a routine and why that is important. You got that, right? How do you cook when a toddler's trying to hit you in the balls and you got a baby on your hip?
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's happening? Art Eddy here for another Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very happy to have Shannon Carpenter. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here. It's one of my favorite podcasts, man. It's good to be on. Seriously.
Oh, you. Thank you very much. I appreciate all the stuff that you're doing in this fatherhood space. Of course, you got a podcast. You're such a great writer. Your site, and like we're like this, like in this brotherhood of fatherhood. We kind of are in this circle of talking about parenting, and sometimes the stuff that we talk about or the stuff that we think like it should be like everybody should know this, but like sometimes we have to get out of that bubble. But I gotta say, congrats on your book. We're gonna talk about it in a second.
Thank you.
Ultimate Stay-at-Home Dad, and of course we'll put up links here for that. So congratulations on that book. You and I are both stay-at-home dads, at-home dads, whichever you want to, you know, I was in the transition of working in radio and then I became the stay-at-home parent. For you, man, talk a little bit about how that, because you have so many great articles, so many great thought pieces on this, and of course this book, but what was the transition like for you to become the stay-at-home parent?
So I'm going to tell a story that I haven't told anywhere else yet. So this is the first on your podcast. I know, right? I'm
saving this. Exclusive.
It's a good one. So my first day as a stay-at-home dad was January 1st, 2008. Like I know the actual date.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And so we were in the process of moving. That was the whole deal. So my wife left us, and not in a bad way. I know that sounds terrible. She hates when I say that, but she went to Kansas City to start a new job. That's why we were moving her job. My job was to take care of a 19-month-old kid and then a four-month-old newborn, and sell the house. That was what I was going to do. And so for 30 days, my very first stint as a stay-at-home dad was 30 days by myself, 100%. And I thought, I got this. I had plans, man. It was like going to be detailed. And that lasted 4 days before it went to crap. I mean, it was bad. I couldn't take a shower because they all freaked out. Like all the baby and the kid would freak out. I wasn't sleeping because they were 4 months old. And then my daughter got sick, like bad sick, like the first sick she ever got, and projectile vomit like everywhere. Ugh. Right. So I'm trying to take care of a newborn and a sick kid. So there's a part in that first week that my wife was gone that I was sitting on the side of the tub with my daughter in my lap. She's hurling behind me. Like I can hear it hit the wall. It's like 50 miles an hour. And I don't know how they can get that fast with their vomit, but they can. It's leaking down my back. And I got the baby in front of me because you can't leave the baby alone, right? In the car seat. And I'm rocking him with my foot as she throws up. And then my dog comes in and starts eating everything. And that is what my transition was like. So it was like 30 days in the fire right from the start. Anything after that has been easy.
So that's almost like a screenwriter's dream right there.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. Like, you know, you almost think of like Michael Keaton back in the day when people say Mr. Mom. And I know like that phrase, Mr. Mom, is like a brutal thing, terminology to use in this dad world or in this parenting space. And I get it. You know this as well as I do. And like I've written a bunch of stuff just from the idea of like, you know, moms look at you if you're at the play date or, you know, you're at the park and like, what are you doing? It's like people at the grocery store, it's like, oh, giving the wife a day off and all this other stuff, right?
Yep.
I think the biggest misconception, because it's always been like dads are out being the breadwinner and the moms stay home. It's all about routine. And the idea of when you get a job, whether you're well versed in it or not, there's going to be like a week of training being like, this is how we do things here. There's this handbook or there's this guide, right? Or you have like a 2 week, like let's ramp you in. Everyone that I've talked to about fatherhood, especially when they become a dad, they're like, we've never had an instruction manual. Yeah. You can read books here and there, but the most important job you have, it's different for everybody. But I think where I was going with this is like routine. Once you get a routine down, especially babies and toddlers, they thrive on routine. They're in the right now. Like, what are we doing at 11? Well, 11, we go for a walk before lunchtime. And then lunchtime, we have lunchtime. Then we might watch a show and then we'll take a nap. And then I'll wake up and then play with dad and all that other stuff for mom, whatever the case may be. It's all about building routine. And if I went on a media trip and my wife had to be, you know, stay at home with the kids and just work from home, She's like, I don't know how you do it. Everyone's like the phrase, like, I don't know how you do it. Well, it's because you have a routine, you're used to it. Mm-hmm. It's not because the other, you know, partner or your partner can't do it. It's just because, and they might do things differently. And then kids, you know, the elderly and, you know, toddlers are the ones that'll speak their mind. Dad doesn't do it this way. Mom doesn't do it this way. I don't want my sandwich like this. And it's like, they're your toughest critics, but they'll be honest with you. And they're just like, you can't reason with a toddler being like, look, I understand that, but it's going to taste the same because it's horizontal instead of straight diet, you know, cut, whatever. But it's just those things. And people get frustrated. So I know I'm preaching the choir, right?
Yes, you are. You hit like on everything there. Because when you first start out, even as a father, you're right. There is no instruction manual. There's no nothing. And the books that are out there for us, so many of them focus on like the sentimental stuff or what's the quickest way to get back to my golf game. And it doesn't actually, it's true. You know, they pretend that a kid doesn't after like a year.
Yeah.
It's right. You look, it's like, you know, what to do in the first year. And I'm like, you know, it's been scientifically proven kids last longer. I'm just letting you know. So, you know, I wanted to know actually physically how to do things. Like you said, how to start a routine and why that is important. You got that, right? How do you cook when a toddler's trying to hit you in the balls and you got a baby on your hip? Like, that's a thing. Like, that's a real thing. Like, going to the bathroom, every parent knows that when they're real young, they don't like locked doors. And so going to the bathroom and you're fending off a kid with one foot and you're peeing with the other, on the other end, you know, how do you do these things to actually care for your kid and make the best out of it? And dude, honestly, that's why I wrote the book. You know, I looked at what was out there and it just made me mad. And I was like, this is crap. So that's what I did.
Well, again, it you know, congrats on that. And I think we need more books like this. Like, again, like, people just writing into this, if people haven't listening to this right now, if people haven't, you know, heard of your stuff, which is kind of weird to say, but like, again, getting out of that parenting space, but like,
yes,
people haven't heard this and they're like, oh, that, and like, you, I think the biggest compliment, whether it's a podcast or an article that you've written, I've done, whatever the case may be, is when someone like an older dad's like, man, I wish I had this when I was around, like when I was your age, something like that, right?
Yeah, because I wrote the things that I wanted to know. Yeah. You know, like, how do you mow the yard on a Tuesday when you have a baby and a toddler? It's hard, right? You can't leave them alone. And there's ways to do that. But those are the physical, actionable stuff that I wanted to talk about because that's what I needed. And that's what I look for.
And I think with this dad community, with the podcast that we both, you know, do and all this other stuff, we try and bring in other dads and like say like, hey, you're not alone. I think no matter, it doesn't have to be about parenting. It can be about any subject. Obviously, that's why fandom and like sports is huge because like you root for the 49ers, so do I. Yeah, that's awesome. You remember when Jerry Rice, you know, got that touchdown from like you can like relate and you can like have something that's a common bond, just like with parenting. So with this book, man, not only did you bring down some awesome thoughts and just you know your thoughts on how to be a stay-at-home dad and all that good stuff, you brought in some other dads. Like, talk a little bit about how that process worked and bringing in those guys to help you out.
Well, I think you hit on it. To me, fatherhood's about a community. And if you want to get the most out of it and feel supported, tap into the community because it is a welcoming community. Like, no one cares about, there's no daddy wars like you hear on the other side. You know, everyone is, if you're dad, you're dad. No matter who you are, where you're from, you're dad. And so I talked in the book, there's actually 57 other dads that give little tips and tricks, like their best hack. Like, if you're potty training a toddler, take post-it notes with you so you can place it on automatic flushers in case that scares them, right? Things like that, their best tip. And I talked to those 57 guys and man, we just talked for hours. And all I needed was one quote. I wanted one tip, but we got lost in the conversation because that's what dads do when we're talking about our kids and how to physically do stuff. And then on top of that, I brought my own dad's group. I've been with the same group of dads for 13 years. We've raised our kids together. There's 5 dads,
nice.
16 kids. There's 21 of us when we go out. It's like a circus when we go out, but it's fun, right? So I brought them in at the end of every section to give their experiences over the last decade so that the new dad coming in, or the new stay-at-home dad or new dad period can say, okay, here's people I belong to. You know, these guys got my back. These guys can tell me how to do things and how to help. Because the truth of it is in the book, man, 57 are quoted in the book, but I probably talked closer to 100 and just on background and things like that. But I talk to any dad. I like doing that. So, yeah, I'm an extroverted dude.
Just, again, this is one of the reasons why people need to pick up this book, right? Because that toilet thing with the post-it thing is legit. Because my youngest, especially when she was a toddler and she was mm-hmm. just, you know, she was able to go to the bathroom and all that stuff, but you'd be going into a, you know, a bathroom and all that, even if it was like the family one, like thank God for the family bathrooms. Right. So yeah. it's like, cause I have two daughters and it's like, love the family bathroom at the mall because it's mostly clean. And
yeah,
and it's just like, it's just you guys. So they can go do their business. But she would freak out. She'd be like looking behind her and being yep. like waiting for that flush, and she'd hate it. And as a kid, it's like the toilet is already big enough already, but then you hear the like, right? So it might seem for someone listening to this who, you know, might not have thought about like, oh yeah, like these are the things yes. that I wish I thought about it. And that book, your book has a bunch of those things, right?
It does. It has a ton of those. And I will say that a dad knows where the good bathrooms are because it's a thing for us. Like, you yep. know, the ones that are clean and the ones that have a changing table because you get caught without one.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Cause especially like Dante Palmer, the dude that, the guy yeah. that did Squat for Change, he is phenomenal trying to do that grassroots campaign and more people are picking up on it. Just like have the stalls, like have the koala changing table in like men's bathrooms too. Yes. Right.
Like, it's that simple because, you know, we've all changed diapers in bad places, back of cars, front seat. Like in the book, I tell you actually how to change a diaper in the front seat of your car. Like that was a thing that I had to figure out. So I'm like, this is how you do it. You turn their head backwards, like, you know, when it's kind of sloping on the seat. And it's that kind of advice I get in there. And there's tons and tons and tons of stuff like that. And not just for me. I think one of the guys I talked to, Eric, he put a coffee grinder in his garage so not to wake up his kid during nap time, but he could still get his energy. I was like, oh, that's genius. And he's like, I was just kidding around. I was like, no, that's really good. So there's guys that take stuff for granted that they've done, that they figured out, that I was able to pluck out of the universe and place all in one spot. And there's yeah. tons of stuff like that in there. Yeah. No matter what you're doing, whether you're doing physical care, cooking, cleaning, going out, mental health support, all that stuff, side hustles. That's the number one question I think I get talked about right now, side hustles. Yeah. So
that's funny too, because again, I became the stay-at-home parent like 2010, and like the side yeah. hustles just kind of, I wasn't maybe looking at the point for side hustles, but they just mm-hmm. kind of came and I got the opportunity to do certain things. And then now it's like, my kids are older, where I'm point like, well, I still want to be around for when they get home from school and all that other yes. stuff. But like, I'm still able to work, you know, I run Art of Fatherhood and I work with companies for this stuff, just like you got, you know, just what yeah. you do, especially writing the books and stuff like that. So it's funny, but like, you want to make sure that you're providing I think my mentality, I'm just not going to speak for everybody, but like my mentality is like, I want to be there for my family, but I also want to help provide in certain ways that I used to when I was having mm-hmm. a job. Right. So yeah. side hustles are huge. I always like asking this question, especially to good dads, because I think they're very perceptive on it and they get it. We're trying to teach our kids certain things, but what are certain things that your kids have taught you about yourself or about life?
Oh, that's a good one. So this is where we get in the Barbara Walters thing, right? This is where you're going to make me cry.
Let me just get the mood. Let me get the lighting. You know, I'll turn into like some, you know, sparkling effects after your answers. We'll be good.
You know, the biggest thing that I've gotten from my kids, and I know this is going to sound weird and it's going to get a little sentimental and that's jokey, but at the end of the day, I'm still dad. I'm me. No matter how bad I messed up, it's just that hug at the end of the day. I'm a big hugger, a big bear hugger. But when we have a bad day, they still come in and they give me that huge hug. And no matter how bad I screwed up, it reminds me that, hey, I'm still their dad. And that's the best thing, you know. And I've jacked up a lot of stuff, right? Like, it's almost like a second career for me, the amount of stuff I've messed up. But that kind of just unconditional reassurance, you know, it literally feels like I have a team to fight in the world with. And I love that. And my kids, they all look like my wife, but they all act like me, you know? And I love that. Right. Cause I'm usually pretty loud and gregarious and all those things like that. And they're quieter than me. And I know I embarrass them, but they're very kind of, let's go, let's do it. Let's go. So for me, with my kids, that's it. They keep me centered of where I am.
That is such a great response. I love it. And you know, kids are resilient.
Yes.
And I think we beat ourselves up more after a thing, like, I can't believe I did that or whatever, especially when they're toddlers. If you yelled at them or you said like, why'd you do that? And all of this stuff. And the next day they're like, they don't like kids for the most part. If you're a good parent and you're trying to do their best, they can see it. I think kids are really good at like sniffing out like someone who's like being real and authentic to someone's being like, oh, what's your name? Right. Like all that other stuff. Yeah. But it's like, all of those things, but I think kids are resilient. I'm not saying you can be, you know, a douche to them every day and they'll be like, oh, it's cool, it's dad, you know, I love them anyways. But the fact that, you know, you're showing, you're talking about how you beat yourself up, like, why did I do this? They know that they care about you and you know, like you said, you're a hugger and you care about them and having that support system. I saw like this one thread, I think you'd get a kick out of this, about parenting and like the idea of, and again, everybody has their own way of parenting or their view of parenting. Like I saw something that said like, oh, you know, I'm a dad, you know, with a newborn struggling and all this other stuff. I need some help.
Yeah.
And someone's like, just wait until they start talking and they're more interactive. Right now it said, you're the assistant to the mom. You do whatever the kid needs or the mom needs and all this stuff. And one's like, and people are going down this line and I'm just looking at this, like, I didn't comment. Cause like, I'm not commenting on social media with certain things because having an argument or having a discussion with someone with 140 characters, it's not going to go well.
No. For anybody. Yeah.
But I saw one of them said, and I kid you not, well, the plus side is if you know, your organs go to crap, you got some good ones that are like, you know, you got some people that are right there donor wise. And someone responded and be like, so let me get this right. You just procreated so you would have like backup organs in case you needed something.
Yeah, just a backup kidney.
Cool. All right, great. And I'm not putting light on people who need donations or anything like that. But I'm like, I'm looking at this tweet and I'm like, huh. If I ever said that about my kids, I don't know where I would be. Like, I'm at the point where, like, yes, in any relationship, it's going to be tough. Like, you're going to have to work at it if you really want to care about it, right?
Yes. And it's the thing about that, and here's what I tell new dads, is, like, that 3 to 6 month age is the absolute best time to get out of the house. Like, it is legit. They don't walk. They don't run. They're not talking. Go do stuff that you want to do. I took my third one, to the World War I Museum when he was like 4 months old because he didn't care. He just wants to be dad. And for the first time, I got to sit in that museum for 5 hours and actually go through everything. You know, if you stay home, I think, or if you're just, if you look at the baby or as a new kid as an obstacle, that's the way it's going to feel. You know, if you look at him as part of your adventure and that's your sidekick, that's the way that's going to feel. You know, I know it's hard and I know you're not sleeping, but dude, that's parenting. Make the best of it.
And like, I think now more and more people are like realizing it's so like, there was that theme. It's like, you got to get married. You got to have kids. Mm-hmm. You got, after a while, it's like, you don't got to do that. Like,
no,
if like the biggest thing too, if people are thinking about like listening to this and thinking about being a parent or a dad or whatever the case may be, and it's like, oh, I got to keep up with the Joneses or everybody else in my family's got kids and married. It's like, don't do it because of peer pressure, right? Like, that's one thing where you like buying a car because other people are buying like a car and like you got to be like keeping up with the Joneses. That's one thing. Kid is totally different, right?
It is. And what you decide to do with it. And, you know, when you're a dad and you don't know what to do, people tell you what to do, right? And they're like, well, go to the mall playground for a while. And dude, don't do that. Don't do it the way you think other people want you to do it. Do it the way you want to do it. So one of the things I did when they were young too is, you know, crafting. You know, we've all made so many little snowman ball things and crap. And I hate it. I hate Pinterest. I hate that kind of crap. I was like, no, we're going to build medieval siege weapons. That's what we're going to, because that's what I can do. Right. And that's kind of the point with the book is you do you. Embrace those natural powers. So we built like a guillotine and a...
Oh, that's awesome.
Ballista and catapult and trebuchet. We launched a flaming arrow. I didn't even build the arrow. That was the kids. The kids found it and they built their own arrow and it went like 50 yards on fire. It was way cool. But when you ignore what you're supposed to do and have to do and focus on what you want to do and what you're good at, it becomes a different ballgame, man. A completely different ballgame.
100% agree. And that's such a great, like, I always ask, like, give me a piece of advice you'd ask for new dads. And right there, I think you answered it because it's like, do you. I wrote an article about, like, this is before DMX passed away, but like how DMX is a great guide to parenting, right?
Yeah.
And I was just saying, like, all of his songs, it's like, Do You, and like all these other different things. It's like, Slip It. I was like, you know, doing like just some fun play on words with stuff. But like, that's the biggest thing. It's like my kids and I, like, we bonded over Star Wars, Avenger stuff, and all that case may be. If they didn't like it, like, there's certain things that, like, they don't like. Like, they don't like the Bad Batch. I do. Like, the Star Wars thing. And that's fine. And then they like certain things, but, like, I take an interest. Like, my oldest, she loves Olivia Rodrigo right now. And, like,
oh, me and you both, brother.
The fact that she's got a song called Deja Vu, and we're in the car, and we're like, if we're going for a hike, or we're just hanging out in the car, driving somewhere, that song will come up, like, four times. And, of course, I do the dad joke, like, this is a perfect song, Deja Vu, yeah. Huh, kids? And like that, and they're like, oh, yeah, shut up, Dad. Like, they're like, roll their eyes, whatever. But all stages of their life, you want to make sure that you're there for them and you're caring about them, because once they become teenagers and you having conversations about what they're up to, they'll be like, oh, this is normal.
Yeah.
Right? If you're just not there and, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, what are they into right now? And they're like, hey, what's going on? Like, why are you talking now? Right?
Especially in what's going on the last 2 years, right? Yeah. Like, this has been nothing but just a huge mess. And the teenagers, you know, I have a 15-year-old daughter now. She's 15 now. They're aware of what's going on. They're very active in what's going on. And you got to have those hard conversations, you know, and that means love, and that means sex, and that means racism, and it means all these horrible things. You got to help them kind of guide themselves through, and at the same time, guide yourself through, because some of it, you know, I'm a white dude in Missouri. I've been sheltered, and I get that, right? I drive a minivan. No one's pulling me over most times, you know, but I've got to understand that and walk that path with my daughter to make the world a better place. And even, like, you know, Olivia Rodrigo, I can belt out Driver's License. Like, mm-hmm. I know it by heart. Right. And I talked to my daughter. I was like, that girl's been hurt. Let's talk about that, you know, but it opens up those avenues of discussion. You know, my daughter's in really big into Harry Styles. So apparently I am now too. And I can sing some Tay Tay, Taylor Swift. I can do that. That's what we call it in our house. Tay-Tay.
It's just like, well, and it's funny too, because, like, back in college, like, I was almost like the P. Diddy of, like, we would go out, because I was always into hip-hop and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Or, like, if we'd be at a bar and there'd be a song come on, I'd be like, I'd almost be someone's hype man for the song, being like, is it getting wet in here, Nelly? And everyone's like, hot in here! Like, just, like, stuff. So, my kids adapted to that, so talked about something at dinner, like, 2 days ago, and someone do this or that, blah, 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 and someone's like, maybe you should do this. I'm like, well, is it for the best? And then my daughters just came in and, like, started singing Reputation as well. My wife's like, I have three of you now.
Yes, that's exactly the way it is. My son likes AC/DC a lot. I'm like, he's 13. I'm like, let's go, boy. Let's do this.
Nice. Love it. Couple more questions before we get into the Father Quick Five. And again, I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
We both know that our kids and our family are muses, right?
Yes.
But everyone sees life in a different way. But talk about your career, because, again, you're such a awesome writer, and the way you form things up are fantastic. Talk a little about your creative process, even when it comes to the book or an article or just even a tweet or just something funny. Like, what, like, how do you, like, take something like an idea and, like, obviously make it to where it's either a book or an article or
what works? So I write a lot of humor. And I think that's really how you reach a lot of dads, because the lesson's in the joke. And if you can find the universal truth, is what you're doing. The truth of it is, when I write and I get my ideas, it cannot be quiet around me. Like, I crave chaos. It's the weirdest thing. I know, right? So I will sit and just live life with my kids and walk out with them and just listen and watch, you know, and participate. And then I have a little notebook and I write it down, and I'll have 10, 15 ideas a day. And at the end of the week, you got 50, and I picked the best two, something like that. Right. And that came from a class that I took a long time ago. And what I look for are those moments of conflict that have that kind of universal truth in it, even when it's funny. Right. And most of the things that I write are funny, because, you know, we're two dads talking about singing Olivia Rodrigo and Harry Styles, right? That's funny, but there's a lesson in it, is the communication. So my creative process is that. So I spend my days doing that. And then when it's time to write, I usually go to a public place. Like, for me, it's the library, just so I can have the people around me. I get energy from other people. That's the extroverted nature in me. And I throw in my headphones. I pop up usually some sort of grunge or Rage Against the Machine to get the anger flowing, or whatever I'm doing. And that's how it comes out. That's my creative process. And that's how I turned from articles into books. That's how it happened. Yeah.
Love it, man. That's fantastic. Yeah. And but talk about some of the things that you're looking to instill. I mean, I love the fact that you've been on point. I've been kind of doing the same thing where it's like a lot of different issues, a lot of different things. My kids are 13, 11. They're picking up on things. And it's like, all right, let's talk about this, because they can, you know, look something online. They can get from their friends. But like, if you have a conversation and see where their mindset is compared to ours, and we can kind of, you know, talk about certain things. I love, that's huge. Communication is great. But what are some of the other things you were looking to instill into them?
You know, confidence in themselves. And that's a hard thing to teach because it comes over such a long time. You don't just wake up one morning confident. That just doesn't happen like that. And you start with the fake it to the make it, you know. You know, you pretend you're confident until you are confident. And with them, one of the main lessons that I wanted to teach them throughout this last 13 years, and the reason we're so active and go out, is I don't want them to be afraid of the world. I want them to embrace it. And I want them to be confident that they can change it and make it what they want it to be. And, you know, we take a dad's trip every year. That's five dads, 16 kids. And we go, you know, see these silly things. And people think we see things like the big ball of twine, or, you know, I've seen the world's largest pair of underwear. That's funny, right? It's a thing. It's in St. Louis. And they think I do that just for the joke, but it's not, you know, the whole point is to have that time on the road where we are exploring, where we are embracing that world, and you're doing it with your dad. So when dad is not here, or you are by yourself and you need to rely on memories to get you through that next hard day, you will have them and you will have that confidence. And that's the actual point of the dad's trip. Yes, I've seen the world's largest pair of shoes and rocking chair. You know, I've done those things, right? But they're not the point. That's not why I do it. So that's what I would like other, you know, dads to do. Spend some time on it. It's worthwhile.
It's the journey, not the destination, right?
Absolutely. And until you actually live that, it sounds just like a catchphrase. But then when you're actually doing, you're like, oh, that's what that feels like.
That could be added to the advice, you know, question too, because how many times are we trying to like instill life lessons in our kids that maybe it's just at the home, like, well, you should do this and golden rule and all this other stuff. But like some life lessons is like how to change a tire.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, how, like, and going to, like, I've experienced families where like we've gone to, like, I lived in different places. I moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. And our kids, when we were living in New Jersey, we would go to New York City. They would see that. And they were probably too young to maybe comprehend everything, but we go to different places and check things out here in North Carolina. But the idea that when we went with one family, like they were like kids who were teenagers that were like didn't know like how to comprehend everything. Right. And the idea of like, just if you want to suit them up for, you can give them all the knowledge in the world, but you should actually like, let like walk the walk and talk the talk, right? Talk and then also walk the walk, right? All that good stuff. So, there we go.
You learn by doing. Yeah. For the kids, learn by doing. Yeah.
No doubt. All right. Fatherhood quick five right here. I can't wait to hear these answers, man.
All right.
stretching. I love it. He's getting ready for this. He's fully committed. I love it. Favorite family movie right now? Do you guys have one?
It depends on which kid I'm with. with my daughter together, it's the movie Aliens. Because I love Ripley, and I remember she was like six when I showed her that last scene. I was like, come in here. She's like, this is scary. I was like, yeah, but she's going to kick it. You got to see this as a strong female character, right?
Yeah.
And so my daughter and I watched that. With my son, I would say Avengers Endgame. Like, he is totally into the Marvel, and so was I, and we're just deep down that rabbit hole. Yep. Like, everything that comes out, but I would say Endgame with that. With my eight-year-old, it jumps around. So thank God it's not Spy Kids anymore, because that's no bueno. I don't know how many times they have to make that movie. With my eight-year-old, it is probably going to be Moana or something like that. You know, nice. I will sing You're Welcome all day long. But I think as an actual family, right now we're going through Eddie Izzard and his Dress to Kill comic special.
Okay.
And that's like something we all laugh about.
Nice. Together. Love it, man. Okay, and so I think that answer right there towards the end, and then also too what you were talking about, like how you get hyped up to start writing things and music you listen to, I kind of might have a guess, but favorite like family song right now, or is there a band that you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Pearl Jam. I mean I'm a 90s kid.
Yep.
And I could not wait to, like, you need to listen to this. But then again, you know, as a dad, I was singing a Metallica for bedtime songs, you know. you know, yeah. Nothing else matters, things like that. So they've been there. But when my son really started really getting into it, and my daughter, she's going through this phase now where she's going through some 90s song. Oh, and she just discovered Nirvana Unplugged.
Oh, cool.
She's like, this is great. I'm like, all right, honey, let's go. And we just go down that rabbit hole.
It's funny. As I get older, I get more appreciation for all types of music. I was so into like hip hop, R&B, some Stevie Wonder, and of course like Michael Jackson, 80s hits, so like in the 90s growing up. But then like I worked at a rock station. Everyone's like, it's kind of a weird play for you. I'm like, well, that's a place I could get in too.
Like, and then like, take job.
I started like AC/DC, Aerosmith, have more like, and like even deeper cuts of like, cause like you have the library, you listen like this song's even better than like their pops, like their hits. But Pearl Jam and Nirvana, especially Pearl Jam, I've grown so. And Dave Matthews, like Dave, for some reason, I was always clowning on Dave Matthews fans. I don't know why. I don't know why in high school and college, I, like maybe I felt like Dave was like the traditional, like, oh, I'm in college, you gotta listen to Dave Matthews. And I'm like, all right, enough of that. But now I'm like, I've gotten, I think Jack Johnson was the gateway to like get me into like liking all of those guys right now. And it's like, maybe because I'm older, it's like I don't need to feel like I just need to like Tupac or whatever the case may be. I don't know. I love Pearl Jam is great, especially like some of his like not want to say solo stuff, but just stuff that he's done with other like other singers.
Oh yeah,
that's great, man. This is a great question for you, especially because you guys are all about the journey. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
It depends on who's with me. Like my wife does not like the crazy goofy stuff we do. The perfect family journey for me in vacation would be honestly to a beach somewhere by myself, not by myself, but with just my family.
Okay. Right?
And where we have that peace and that quiet with each other. That is kind of the perfect vacation, I think, for me and the kids. And I, after 3 or 4 days, I'd probably get bored knowing who I am, but to have that kind of, you know, peace and quiet, which is kind of weird because you kind of want that sometimes. But I think with my wife, I'm going to take her to Tahiti one day. That's what I want to do.
Oh, nice.
They have those bungalows over the ocean, and she is an amazing woman, and she's worked super hard to give us the life that we wanted. And I'm going to take her there for like a week, and we ain't going to do nothing but sit in the water. It's going to be great.
Oh, I love it. Nice, man. And last question, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would they be?
Awesome. I think that's got to be in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. Something with a swear word, because I have not cleaned up my language. So effing awesome would be even better. And honestly, there. Nice. That's it. Dad's there. That's what I want. Those are my three words. And if they can swear while they do it when they're older and out of my house, that would make me feel better.
Awesome.
I can't encourage it now, but you know, when she's 18, drop a bomb. It's okay.
Love it. Shannon, thanks again for the time. People, make sure you follow him on Twitter at Hossman at Home. Pick up his book, The Ultimate Stay-at-Home Dad. This is, I mean, just talking to him, hopefully while you're listening to this, you understand, like, this is a legit book. Pick it up for yourself. And then also pick it up for, like, when someone has the first kid and they have the, you know, the baby shower registry and all that stuff. This is a book that not only I think dads would enjoy, but moms would enjoy too, because I think there's a lot of valuable lessons. So wherever you can pick up books, make sure you support Shannon. He's a great dude, and support him and his family. Shannon, again, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate chatting with you. Of course, I've loved your work since Thank being you. In this dad circle, but I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Thank you, man. I love being on this podcast. This is a good one. Thank you, bud.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.